I doubt that many of us have heard these words said about us. I could be wrong, but I know it's not been for me. I thought you had died. I thought you were gone. I thought you were dead. It's never happened to me. Maybe it has to you. Or maybe you've said it to someone in your experience, I thought you were dead, I thought you were gone, you know, whatever it is, whether it's an accident or you haven't seen somebody in a long time, whatever it is. And chances are it's just a handful of us here that maybe have had that said about us. But it is true of each one of us. It is absolutely true. You can say to me, Clayton, you were dead, you were a goner, you were ready to start pushing up daisies. And I can say that of you, John, Betty, or whoever. You were dead. You were a goner. You were ready to start pushing up daisies. And God is the one who says this in our passage today, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says just that. Verse 1 says, and you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. There it is. You were dead. And you were dead because of trespass and sin. And that, for that reason, we have celebrated communion. And Paul uses two words here to make sure we know. Dead in trespasses and sins. So trespass, well, that's when you trespass. You know, you go beyond. You cross the line. And you were dead because of your sins, because you have done something wrong. That's why we're dead. That's why it can be said of each one of us, yeah, you're a goner, you're dead. But this is a different kind of dead. In verse 2, it says here, in which you formerly walked. And that word for walk there means to live. It's a figure of speech that takes the motion of walking and equates that with the motion of life, you know, going through life. So walking is a way of saying you walk through life, living. So this kind of dead is a walking dead. It's a zombie-like thing. Oh, how nice. How nice. And why? Well, verse 2 continues. It says, according to the course of this world, in which you walk formerly, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is now of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And so our text tells us that this present dead, walking dead way is the way of the world, and it's according to the prince of the power of the air. And we need to go right to that because that is so important. Who is this prince of the power of the air? Who is this person? Well, it's not some personality who has control of the atmosphere, you know, the air. He's the prince of the air. He's the god of the air. No, it's not that. But it's referring to a person who is unseen, like air, but who exercises control and dominion in the world and over the world. And like air, which we breathe, he is present everywhere. He has his influence, we could say his finger in all things. He's the prince of power of the air. Wherever you turn, we breathe that air. We see that air. We live in that air. And that's what he's saying. This is pervasive. The prince of the power of the air has pervasive control in this world. And that person who is fueling this, as we read and we continue here, says, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And notice that that word spirit there, in my translation at least, is with a small s. We're not talking spirit as in Holy Spirit. No. This person energizes, promotes an attitude in the sons of disobedience. He is behind the world, the actions and things, the attitudes, the systems in this world that lead people to sin, to trespass and death. And so that's why we read the whole verse, and it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. And so this prince of the power of the air, well, can be none other than Satan. And he wants you dead and destroyed. And it's his campaign to do this, and you are his target. And how does he do this? I guess we need to know. How does he do this? Well, he's a liar and a deceiver. We know that. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said it. He said, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And we're going to move forward here. John 8, 44 with this slide. Today, the clothes that lies and deceit wear may be different than what they have been in the past. But under the clothes that today lies and deceit wear, it's still lies and deceit. Today they wear the clothing of, say, technology and media. And much of it is accessed through the content of the internet. And many of our church leaders today, including me, feel that this media and technology are at the top of the clothing that Satan's schemes wear in order to put us down, in order to destroy. And sure, the internet is a great source of information, a great source of some really good things of education and science. And most of all, and I believe this is God's plan, it's a source, a way to share the gospel, to share God's word. We have an unprecedented way to share the gospel around the world because of the internet. It's a wonderful thing. But it's also been hijacked by the prince of the power of the air, the one who controls the world system, by the enemy. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be doing a series called Wisdom for a Wired World, which is biblical principles applied specifically to technology and media. For the early church, the issues, the clothing that lies and deceit might have worn, was probably meat offered to idols. They had a huge issue with that. That was a big issue, and Paul addressed that. The Word of God addressed that. I think that for us today, we might find media, specifically the internet, technology, to be the issue of our day. I know some of you may be less internet users than others. And you may say, Pastor, I'm what you call old school. I have a flip phone. And my TV remote has three buttons. On, off, volume up, down, channel up and down. And I like it that way, you know? And texting or text, well, that's what you read in a book. Social media, well, that's a friendly witch. Not social media, I'm social media. Email, well, that's just the word mail with E in front of it. Stuck in front. And I said, fair enough. Okay, fair enough. But you probably have people you know, maybe even your grandkids or kids in your church who are into this. And you need to know because you need to pray for them. You do. You need to know what's going on in this world. You see, a lot of our younger kids, well, our young people are born with lightning connectors in their belly buttons. And their ear holes are shaped like earbuds. They're born that way. You know, it just fits right in, you know. And they're probably hounding you to join the modern era and get a real phone and learn how to check your email and learn how to text. Yeah. We live in it, though. We live in it. Remember, the prince of the power of the air. We live in this. You've probably been fubbed. You know what fubbing is? You know what it means to be fubbed? And you may not know the word, but it happens to you. It's snubbed by a phone. That's fubbed, okay? Fubbing, you know? And yes, it happens. We live in it. You may not have the phone, but somebody affects you with their phone, with their media, with their technology. We need to know. It's part of our world. We need to be ready. So let's get practical. And that's what we're going to try to do today. We're going to just do a quick overview of some of the issues, and you may come up with other ones, but we want to look at what the Scripture has to say about some of these things so that we're aware and so that we can join in the fight. You know, don't be a victim. Be ready. Join in the fight. So, you post a photo, right, on one of your social media things, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is. How does this happen, being practical? Well, let's walk through the process, okay? First thing, you want to get the right shot, the right photo. And so you pose or you place. You do that. You want to get your hair to look good. Lips are good, you know. You want it tucked in, you know, or not, you know, because sometimes tucking in is like, you got to be kidding me. And then you go to your thing or your little device and you doctor it. You know, you get the right frame for it and you select the right filter for it. Now, if you can't pose or doctor it, then you take a bunch of them, you know. And then you sift through 50 identical shots, you know, to find the most perfect photo, you know. And then we look at other people's posts and we forget that they probably did the same thing for that picture. They posed, they doctored, they tweaked it. You know, it's a nice photo from a really nice place and they're, what are they doing there? And did they go vacation on that? I can't believe it. And so we do what? We compare. And we envy or we despair. Yeah. A psychologist in the periodical Psychology Today entitled what he was saying, there's, is social media bad for you? Okay, this is what he wrote. And says this, the subtitle is, research links excessive Facebook or Instagram use to depression and loneliness. Okay, now this is research, okay? And here's a quote from it. Generally speaking, Facebook promotes an awful lot of negative comparison just like this. That is, comparing oneself to others and deciding that their lives must be happier or better than ours. Now, this has been going on since the beginning of time. And the reason I bring it up, though, is I want you to know that this is the clothing that the enemy's using today. For some of you, it's not a big deal. But it is a huge thing happening in our world. And the enemy is using technology and media and all this. We need to know. We need to know. Words like clinical depression, loneliness, anxiety, low self-esteem surround this social media phenomenon. Of course, for the media moguls, this is not good, you know, to hear about this because it means less revenue. They're working hard to keep you on the media, to keep you on your device. And that's the other reason we need to know. Let's not be a victim. Let's know why it's there, what its use is for, where it's good, where it's not good. And teens, young people are at an even higher risk because I told you, they're born with you know, lightning connectors here and all that. They're now called screenagers, not teenagers, screenagers. Because the average teen uses the internet 6.5 hours a day. Research. How many of you know what this word means? FOMO. Fear of missing out. And that's huge when it comes to devices. Ask a young person to be away from their device. I'm serious. We talked about doing this for our youth teen camp. We decided not to. We decided we need to put the burden on the teens. They need to know how to handle it. But I think part of it was, what are we going to do if somebody freaks out? You know, they're not with their phone. But it's true. This can drive, you know, people to panic, even fear. It's so bad that research, again, links social media use with teen suicide. And sure, the internet has not killed anyone, but the enemy uses it, technology and media, to appeal to our sinful desires and to look to find ways to destroy us. You know, we can call for changes, and some of the things that we can do are beneficial, but the culprit is still our sinfulness and the enemy who uses our desires and the things that we do against us. Let's move on. News networks, okay? This is for some of us older folks. You got CNN, you got Fox News, MSNBC, and all these different ones. And they have all the apparent worldly signs of authority. You know what I mean? The sets that you see on TV are impressive. The people who speak to you are attractive and well-spoken and erudite. And they quote influential and authoritative persons and personalities. And so it's easy to feel that their authority is worth trusting. And they do a lot of work to get there, yes. But our top standard as believers is not external things, is it? What is our top priority? Where do we place our trust? Who is worthy of our trust? Jesus, God, the Bible, I know. Jesus Christ. And we follow Him. We are part of His church. We're part of His work in this world. We are building His kingdom. He has redeemed us. He created us and then He redeemed us. He is God in the flesh. He will return and vanquish all evil. He will slay the enemy with the sword of His mouth. And so, the question is this. Do you think that any commercially available news media, the big ones, is committed to this truth? Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a big question. Be careful. Don't join the bandwagon without consulting the Lord first. Yes, we can get at each other. No, this. And before you know it, your anger is up, and this is all because of pride, and your day is so messed up because I watched news this morning and I hate this world. And hold on, please. The gospel is still being preached. And it's bearing fruit around the world. That's one of the reasons we have missionaries. So that you can see that the Lord is doing His work all over the world. And it's bearing fruit. He is in control. The ship is not sinking yet. When He wants it to be done, it will be done. Our text reminds us of this. You know, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience, yes, we must do our duty. We must obey the laws. We pray for our leaders. Scriptures is clear. Those leaders are placed there by God, whether it's a liberal or a conservative or a libertarian or independent. God puts our leaders where He wants them to be, and He chooses the one He wants. And no one, no government leader, not even King David, was without major flaws. Major flaws. And only one will be without flaws. The perfect Lamb of God. Jesus Christ. And we look to Him. He's our Lord. So what's the antidote to this pride that can so easily come, you know, that leads to envy. I got to show the world that I'm this. Social media, and then, no, my party is better than your party, and I'm, because, you know. Yes. What's the antidote? Humility. Humility. I don't have it all figured out. You don't have it all figured out. No one in this world has it all figured out. A great reminder is found in 1 Peter 5, 5 through 8. And we reread this passage, 1 Peter 5, 5 through 8. Says it very clearly. Let's read it. In the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And God will exalt you in due time if you humble yourselves under His mighty hand by casting all your cares on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober and alert. Your enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, is on the prowl looking for someone to devour. See how the Lord has put all these things together in one passage? Pride, anxiety, the enemy, humility, God's grace, all right there. He knows. He knows my propensities. He knows it. Pride says I can do it myself, that I alone am the God of my universe, and that I am the captain of my destiny. And we know that, according to the scriptures, pride leads to a fall, to a major breakdown, to an epic fail. And when we're there, we're left without recourse. On the other hand, humility is recognizing that God gives grace. That He opposes the pride, the proud. Pride makes us vulnerable to the enemy, the lion who is just waiting there for us to leave the safety of God's care. Because we think we can do it alone, because we have understanding of our world, because we have it all figured out. No, we don't. We don't. We need to be humble and accept God's care for our life. He will care for you and me. He will. He will care for this world. He's got it under control. Nothing will happen without Him allowing it or leading it. He's in control. Let's move on. There's a lot of discussion about how America, North America, is becoming a consumer-oriented culture. And this has been coming on for decades, right? But I think that the internet has amplified this. Materialism feeds greed. And our world is very strong in saying that all that is valuable is stuff, physical stuff. And so you got to get as much as you can, and the one with the most toys wins, you know. And shopping has never been made more easy than by the internet. All we have to say is, Alexa, buy whatever. And there you go. It's on its way already. It arrives at your door 3 seconds later. No. According to a Business Insider article, Amazon estimates that its Echo device, you know, for Alexa, will add over $11 billion in revenue this year. $11 billion. Because it's easier. We can do it now without having to type it in or call someone. Pinterest, and I know Pinterest is great, man. You see all kinds of things. I mean, you choose something and they send you a million of those things, you know. But it can easily cause us to have the attitude of, oh, I need that thing to be happy and have a perfect life or home or whatever. It can. Advertisers have it down to a science to entice you to buy stuff you don't need and maybe don't even want. Because it's a flash sale. Now's the time to do it. Do it now. Do it now. If you don't do it now, you're never going to get in. You're going to die. It's not true. Target. You're the target. You're the target. Remember, when you see Target, you're the target. They put a whole lot of work into following you to find out where you go, what you buy, what time you get up, what time you go. Not all that, but they do follow. You're the target. And it's working. Forbes magazine states this. Cyber Monday in 2019 hit a $9.4 billion record, up nearly 19% from the year before, $7.9 billion, according to Adobe Analytics, which measures the transactions of the majority of top U.S. online retailers. That's bigger than Black Friday, $7.4 billion, Amazon Prime Day, $4.2 billion. And that's the internet. Cyber, that's the internet. Great potential for either good or bad. And the enemy knows this. He wants to clothe all those things that appeal to our sinful flesh in a new way and think that maybe we're not thinking or aware. Does this affect believers? Well, let me say this. If you deny it, be careful because you're probably blinded to it. It does affect us. Remember, the enemy knows us well. He knows humans well. And so, check your cash flow. Where's it going? How does this fit the fact that our Lord owns everything and that we are simply stewards? Are you building His kingdom with the money He's giving you? And how are you doing that? How do you plan to do it this next year? Do you have a budget? The Lord gives us a mind to use, to plan. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us His Word. Greed, selfishness, the drive for more. Not because we need it, because we just want to. Selfishness can manifest itself in another way, gluttony. Now, I know the word gluttony is primarily used for overeating, but that word comes from a combination of words that mean to swallow, greed, and throat. And in general, it's just overindulging. So let's take the more general perspective on this. With greed, we've talked about how it's easy to buy stuff, especially online. And it's easy to overindulge online as well, to seek to gratify other desires, especially desires like for things of pleasure. Okay? The internet can help you there. In Forbes magazine this year, there was an article with this title, "How much time America spends in front of screens will terrify you." Those are the words, will terrify you. And here's a quote. "The average adult consumes 5 times more information every day than its counterpart 50 years ago. Furthermore, we spend as much as 12 hours a day in front of TVs and computers, and that's while at home." And you want to go, no way. Research. And this is not good for the media moguls. They don't want this stuff out there. And the article continues, "Teens are expressing higher rates of depression and loneliness the more time they spend on their phones, despite claims by 81% of teens that phones make them feel more connected. But the biggest shocks in research are coming from analysis on young children whose brains are developing. A study from the National Institutes of Health found that even children who consume a low, for our time, 2 hours of media a day have lower thinking and language scores on tests than their peers who don't." Yeesh. You know, our passage speaks about how those who follow the enemy find themselves indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So how much is enough? Well, the amount depends on the design and the purpose behind what you do. I mean, you can try to fill your 16-gallon tank with 18 gallons of fuel, of gasoline, and you're going to waste 2 gallons, and then those are going to spill on the ground, and you're in grave danger of fire or poisoning. Same thing happens with your mind. And this shows itself in hoarding, addictions, obesity, financial consumer debt. All these are signs of overindulging, of gluttony. And they're harmful. And the enemy knows this, and it's a lot easier these days to just get on your phone or say, "Alexa, woohoo," you know. What's the antidote for this? What do we need to keep in mind? Well, the scripture speaks about one word, contentment. Contentment. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 is so comforting. Thank the Lord. It says, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you,' so that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" This greed, this grasping for money, for possessions, for pleasure. I've got to get everything I can. Now, in essence, grasping for life on our own way is another end of the enemy's temptation through the net. But God says, You have me. You have me. Whenever and wherever. And I will never leave you. And isn't that awesome? Another gem found in Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. It can't compare. The Lord says, you have me. What else do you need? What else could you want? You have me. And I want to fill you up with all the fullness of God. Let's keep that in perspective. Contentment. You know, the word contentment is spelled the same as content, right? And what's the content of a believer? God. The fullness of God. In Spanish, it's the word contento. And contento means what? Some of you Spanish speakers? Happy. Happy. Remember, God has said to you, you've got me. All that you ever want, you have. What can compare? What content can we have that can compare? So the enemy wants you to believe lies that the internet can provide satisfaction through social media, showing off through pride, but that leads to envy and anger. We're to be humble. God cares for us. The enemy wants us to be filled with stuff, pleasure found on the internet, but it leads to greed and it's also harmful. But God offers himself to us and he fills us up with him. Wow. And we come to Satan's most prized weapon, I think, in the use of the internet, is exploitation of human sexuality. Sexual lust is probably the most evident sin on the internet, especially through the sexualized, overly sexualized, and pornographic images that come onto the internet and videos. And it doesn't take much to get from a Minecraft tutorial to porn. It's just one click away. And this is such a significant problem that we're going to address it next week. And here's where I say to parents, we're going to be very appropriate in how we do this. But you know whether your children are ready to ask these questions or not. So I tell you ahead of time, we're going to hit it. We need to hit it appropriately. Right now, just a high-level view. Yeah, the cost of pornography, the societal costs of pornography are staggering. The financial costs to businesses and productivity in the U.S. alone are estimated at $16.9 billion annually. That's just money. Okay? But there's a greater human toll, particularly in young people and in our families, which is far greater. According to Patrick F. Fagan, PhD, psychologist, former deputy assistant to the Health and Human Services Secretary, he said this: two recent reports, one by the American Psychological Association on hypersexualized girls, and the other by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy on pornographic content of phone texting among teenagers, make clear that the digital revolution is being used by younger and younger children to dismantle the barriers that channel sexuality into family life. It's a whole lot of stuff there. But they're saying, these guys, the research shows the internet is a huge way, as we see, that the enemy is using to break down the very fiber of those good things that he gives to us. Marriages, family, through pornography. Pornography hurts adults, children, couples, families, and society. Among adolescents, pornography hinders the development of healthy sexuality. And among adults, it distorts sexual attitudes and social realities. In families, pornography use leads to marital dissatisfaction, infidelity, separation, and divorce. And I know that this isn't just statistics. There are some of you among here who are feeling, in very real ways, this. Let's not put our heads in the sand, folks. If you have troubles in this area, We're here to help. God is here to help. In this church, we have tools that can help you. It is a very complex issue. But get help. The Lord is here. According to Webroot, the top consumer internet safety provider, Webroot, think virus protection for your computer, visits to Pornhub, one of the world's largest, yes, this is just one, but the world's largest, one of the world's largest, totaled 33.5 billion users uses over the course of 2018, an increase of 5 billion over 2017. And that equates to a daily average of 92 million visitors. Today's Pornhub daily visits exceeds 100 million per day. And that is 30.3 billion searches, 962 searches per second. Every minute, 63,992 new visitors arrive at Pornhub. New. 12 new videos and 2 hours of content are uploaded to Pornhub every minute. This is huge. And the enemy is taking advantage of this new clothing to that old, the way he does it, deception and lies. Has this not been an issue since humans were created? Yes, it has been. But the enemy is working hard to find ways to make it easier. And I think in our day, the internet, media, technology makes it easier for him. Therefore, he's using it. So what's the antidote to pornography? Well, run away! Flee! Stay away! Joseph did not try. This is Joseph in the Old Testament. The son of Jacob did not try to overpower it. He was a righteous man. He didn't try to stand against it. His plan was to flee from Potiphar's wife. Flee to purity. Paul tells his young protege in 2 Timothy 2:22, "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." You got to run away. You just got to do it. You don't try to stand against this. You do everything you can to stay away from it. This is not just a guy's thing anymore. 33% of women have issues with pornography. 33%. And instead of doing that, you have to replace it with something good. And the scripture says replace it with righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Find good habits to replace bad habits. You've got to do it. So, in conclusion, and we have gone long, it's a distressing trend in the area of technology and media. We need to be aware of this. The effects of tech and media in our world have been described in research and articles emphasizing the dangers and negative effects. We know that behind the producers of tech and media in our world is the prince of the power of the air. We know it. Our passage has been clear about this. And he wants you and I dead and destroyed, or at the very least ineffective. But our passage also brings us hope. Hallelujah. Our passage says here that believers in Jesus Christ were dead, formerly walked, formerly lived. Verse 4, right after our text here says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Hallelujah! Paul gives us the truth that Satan's destructive work is in the world. But then he turns our gaze away from the world and says, "Look, don't look there. Look to Jesus." Turn your gaze to him. In verse 6, he says that believers are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And then in verse 10, he tells us this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them." We don't have to walk in that muck. We walk in the works that Jesus Christ has prepared. Do you believe it? Young people, do you believe it? Do you believe that God has a way for you to live? Older folks, do you believe it? He has the very things, the very way for you to walk in this world. He does. Hallelujah. The enemy will appeal to your pride. It's my way or the highway. And that's foolish because we're dependent creatures. We weren't even there when we were made. The Creator loves you and He wants to fill you with Himself to fulfill your deepest need. Be humble. The enemy will appeal to your desire to possess. But our greatest, most defining possession is God Himself, and we're so quick to dismiss it. We must open our eyes and be content being containers of God. How awesome. Pleasure and sexuality are byproducts. They're not the end. The enemy will deceive us and lie to us to make us think that they are the end. No, they're just the means to the end. Their purpose is to give expression to true intimacy according to God's design. Only in a lifelong commitment, marriage, can anyone bear the weight of this wonderful gift of sexuality. It can't be born any other way. So don't be a victim. Satan is not playing games. He wants to destroy you and those that are yours. Parents, the minds of your hearts and children are at stake. Be wise, be sober, be involved. What are they seeing? What are they doing? Who are they connecting to? And don't get what you don't get what you expect. Parents, remember that. You don't get what you expect. You get what you inspect. Be involved. Find out. If you're going to give them that much power in their hand, make sure they know how to use it. Teens, don't be victims. Wake up. Those videos, that music, that social media, is it clearly going to give you life? Who's the only one that can give you life? God, Jesus Christ. How are you trying to meet your desires for life? Be smart, be wise. So here it is, guys, and thank you for your time. I know we've gone late. Don't be a victim. Satan is battling you. And he wants to do it through the clothing of our day, the internet. So get in the fight for God's glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have a way for us to walk. You have created those good works that we should walk in them. And we want to walk those ways, Lord. We want to stay away from the ways of the world that are governed by the prince of the power of the air. He is a lion who is about roaring, wanting to devour us. But we can humble ourselves before you. Cause us to do that, Lord. Thank you for our time this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.